From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 86, Rob Parker.
All right, welcome into the podcast. I am your host, Rob Parker. Great show for you today. Former Major Leaguer Dimitri Young will chime in, tell us about the current state of Major League Baseball. Plus, Fox Sports Radio's Bernie Fratto, who played minor league baseball and covers the sport, he'll join us as well. That and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
Keep the season moving. I know Commissioner Rob Manfred gave everybody a scare a week or so ago or whatever it was about maybe pulling the plug on the season with some outbreaks. But you know what? The Phillies are back playing. The Marlins are back playing. The Cards have been cleared to play and face the Cubs on Friday. So, yes, baseball has had its hiccups. But for the most part, the games have continued to play and players have stayed safe. I don't think it's the idea of playing baseball that players are worried about getting COVID because, you know, they're socially distanced. They're not on top of each other. If the players do a better job after they leave the ballpark, and even if they're in the ballpark and in the dugout and not hang out too close and not give each other high fives and do too much touching or spitting, I think baseball will get through the season. There will be some more hiccups along the way, so let's not act like everything's going to be clear and we're smooth sailing from here on out. I don't think it's going to be like that, but I do not believe that it will be enough to derail the game. I don't know about you. I've been watching left and right, and I've been enjoying it. So hopefully the season will keep on ticking on, and we'll have a World Series winner in October.
Number two.
Yoenis Cespedes is out. He's opted out of the season after being a no-show at a Mets-Braves game and then deciding to opt out of the season completely, which means it was probably the last time we'll see him in a New York Mets uniform because he's going to be a free agent after this season. And what a crazy, I don't know which way to look at Cespedes' stay in New York. Remember, he was traded there in 2015 from the Tigers and was on fire for the Mets. He was unbelievable, if you remember the run that he had. And he basically, in his first 41 games with the Mets, he batted 309, 17 home runs, 42 RBIs. He helped the Mets get all the way to the World Series. They wind up losing to the Kansas City Royals in 2015. But Cespedes was the big star. And the Mets were excited. Fans loved him. He was a player, signed that three-year, $75 million contract after that, but then opted out for a four-year, $110 million deal with the Mets. Only problem is he kept getting hurt and basically was hurt the last couple of years with the Mets. So the Mets never really got him. He came back this year, and he looked like he was finally healthy and was going to be able to contribute, and then the COVID and the missing game, and he's out. So when I think about his tenure from 2015 to 2020 and so much missed time, I'm still going to say that it was a positive. I know it sounds crazy, but I think it was a positive from this standpoint. He got the Mets to the World Series in 2015. He was the reason why, one of the reasons why. So, Cespedes, we'll bid you farewell from New York. Thanks for the World Series trip, but thanks for nothing after that.
Number three.
More history made in baseball. Wednesday night, Melanie Newman became the fourth active female game broadcaster in the history of Major League Baseball, and the first female broadcaster in Orioles team history to call play-by-play for a regular season game. It is incredible to see what's happened. And we all know Susan Wolman for a long time with the Yankees on radio and television. Jessica Mendoza, now ESPN. She is a very prominent woman, did Sunday Night Baseball. So we have seen now four women break through that glass ceiling and get an opportunity to broadcast baseball. And it's great. Orioles being the latest. Again, congratulations to Melanie Newman. She's the newest female broadcaster in baseball to join the club.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, let's welcome into the podcast, of course, former major leaguer, all-star, Dimitri Young, who also has a podcast called Wrestling with Sports. It features Dennis Farrell, Jason Kendall, and Darren McCarty. Dimitri, one of my favorite people. Welcome to the podcast, buddy.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be on, especially during these rough times.
No doubt about it. Let's talk about that, Dimitri. With the COVID-19 and what's going on, Major League Baseball, the season is rolling on. There's been some hiccups, but they are playing games. And I don't know about you, I'm watching because I'm enjoying it even without the fans. Do you think you would be playing if you were still a player?
It depends on what portion of my life I'm living in. Early in my career, where I was young and dumb, yep. And when I became a family man, and I had young children and not really knowing what's going on with the whole COVID-19, how it affects the youngins and stuff,
right,
I probably would have opted out.
Okay. When you see, like, Mike Trout, who just had a baby, he was on the fence before the season started, and he wound up coming back, hit a home run his first at bat, and also Nick Markakis with Atlanta, he said he wasn't playing. And then a week or 10 days into the season, he joined back in. What do you make of those guys? Just love ball and want to play?
That's exactly what it was. And then they found themselves at home. And let's just say the missus had to go do something. And I'm speaking on Markakis because he was the one that opted out at
right.
the beginning and then realized that, hold on, the boys are having a little too much fun without me. And he felt that he probably could go, and it's a very fine line to walk between going out there playing and perhaps coming home and bringing that to the family. And like I said, we don't know what kind of effects it can have on a young child, but, you know, I mean, that's a decision that they have to make. And the guys that are opting out, I have absolutely no problem with that because they're thinking about the long haul as opposed to the short sprint.
No doubt about it. Nobody can tell a man what he should do in a circumstance like this. Our guest is, of course, former Major League Baseball All-Star Dimitri Young. Dimitri, early thoughts on the season. The team that jumps out to me is the Yankees. I mean, obviously, they're off to a hot start. They added Gerrit Cole to the pitching staff, top of their rotation, and obviously they got the lineup. What do you make of the Yankees and their hot start? Could this team win a World Series?
Not only can they win a World Series, they can win 40-plus games.
Wow.
And possibly, yes. I mean, they look that dominant. You always knock on wood and wish for the best, but look what happened to Aaron Judge. He wouldn't have started out the season because he was hurt, and he is not only fresh, I mean, good God, what this guy is doing is just, I mean, that's that Hercules-type status stuff that you're seeing out of him. Is he going to keep that up the whole year? Well, it's a 60-game sprint, and you never know what's going to happen, especially when these teams keep having days off and stuff because other teams, you know, are coming down with the COVID and they had to postpone games, which how are they going to make all these games up? Because weren't they supposed to play 60 games in 66 days?
Right. So it's going to be double headers, and there'll be some teams that don't they won't finish their whole schedule. It'll be based off of winning percentage, not actual games, because they're going to be teams that won't be able to get all of the games in. When you look at the season and the way it's set up, do you think that maybe baseball, that this season people will look at it and count it, or will it be a little janky, you know, because it's so short amount of game for a baseball season?
You know, we got to go old school with this. If you start something, it's going to finish. Regardless of it was 60 games and some teams only played 48 games, and I mean, the decision was made to salvage the 2020 season and give something back to the fans, because I live out here in Southern California where they usually block out the Dodgers, but the Dodgers have been cool, and I've been seeing Dodger games every single day. So I kind of like that from a fan standpoint, but from a former player watching, no, there's no asterisk anywhere, especially if somebody's going to hit 400. You know, I mean, of course it's not over a course of 162, but it is a season, and it's still 400. And people are going to argue about that till the cows come home, but since the season started, everything counts.
No, I'm with you. You can't play that game. Everybody's playing under the same circumstance. And last thing, it's weird. Obviously, there are no fans. You're talking about watching the Dodger games. They have cardboard cutouts behind home plate. Some of the Yankee games I've watched, they have, virtual fans out in the outfield. Have you watched that? What does that look like? What is that? Isn't that weird? Because you played in front of so many people, and I know you get a little charge from fans being in the stands. How weird is that for you to watch?
You know, I got a little comfortable watching it because I have stayed up and watched the Korean baseball organization play on ESPN and seeing no fans in the stand. But it also reminds me of when I played in the minor leagues. Nobody was going to watch minor leaguers play. That's so weird. During spring training, you have 8 or 9 fields, and all you'll have on there is some of the front office, maybe a parent or two, or somebody brave enough to let their girlfriend come out there where there's nothing but 200 men on the field playing baseball, and that's all the fans you're going to get. So, in a sense, baseball's used to playing without a crowd, but I tell you what, once you get in front of a big league crowd and you're at home and you do something special and that crowd goes wild, and then on that same token, when you're kicking the team's butt at their place, those rounds of booze, oh, I absolutely love it. And I know the guys love it as well, but right now they're getting virtual claps from the fans that are being able to watch the game today.
No doubt about it. His name is Dimitri Young, of course, played with the Cardinals, the Reds, the Tigers, and the Nationals, and was the comeback player of the year also in baseball. Dimitri, thank you so much, buddy. I appreciate you. Stay safe.
I most certainly will. You too, Rob. Keep doing your thing. It's awesome.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Central. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
Well, Jacob DeGrom isn't sneaking up on anybody anymore. He's a two-time defending Cy Young champ who owns the lowest ERA in baseball the last 3 seasons for the Mets, and he did help kill the pitcher win as a myth of a metric to measure success. And this year, somehow, he looks even better thanks to his bread and butter, his fastball. Now, normally averaging out in the mid-90s, DeGrom has found a few extra ticks on his heater this season, averaging 98.8 miles per hour with the pitch, hitting 101 with regularity, including a career-best 5 pitches at 100 or higher in Monday night's win against Atlanta. Now, for a full season, that average fastball velocity would be the highest mark in history, besting his teammate Noah Syndergaard's 98.0 mark from 2016. And the league, predictably, has done nothing this year, hitting a measly 0.63 against the pitch, 1-for-16, through his first 3 starts. And if the rich needed to get even richer, DeGrom's slider's seen an uptick in velocity as well. At 93.2, that'd be the fastest average slider velocity in MLB history. And his changeup sits at 91.5, which would be second all-time, only to Walker Buehler's 92.0 mark from last year. Now, unsurprisingly, his 54 swings and misses this season lead all of baseball. And in an unpredictable season, DeGrom's improvements on perfection could have him in line for more hardware.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
The Marlins and Cardinals have both had COVID outbreaks, and people are blaming baseball safety protocols. JR, is it foul or fair to say that's even more important for players to be more responsible to avoid another outbreak?
That's fair.
It's a fair ball.
The Marlins were reportedly hanging out in Atlanta in clubs. CEO Derek Jeter refutes that, but he says on this trip, guys were around each other. They got relaxed and they let their guard down. They weren't wearing masks, social distancing. Jeter goes on to say that the entire staff, coaches, and players are responsible. Looks like the Cardinals players and staff were not very responsible either. They have 13 with COVID, 6 players including Yadier Molina. None of these outbreaks occurred on the baseball field. Baseball's done everything it could short of create some kind of bubble, which might be possible for the playoffs once they have less teams to accommodate. The players and staff especially have a responsibility to practice social distancing and heed the protocol. Commissioner Manfred's done everything he can to keep the season going for the owners, the players who also need the money, and the fans who seem to be tuning in despite the cardboard cutouts and fake fan noise. Who wants to see the season end without seeing how dominant Jacob DeGrom can be, or Seattle's nucleus of Kyle Lewis and J.P. Crawford, young black stars develop, or if Dusty can lead the Astros' redemption tour? What about Yankee slugger Aaron Judge? Can he hit 30 homers in 60 games? We need this season, COVID and all. But understanding how easy it is to spread, players and staff have to really take the responsibility to live life a bit differently now. Almost become hermits until the task is complete.
Take out the paper, then the trash.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's winner is Tony the Street Sports Agent, and he tweeted me this. I'm trashing the New York Mets. They reported Cespedes as a no-call, no-show, like he needed to be on the back of a milk carton for missing persons. Then came back and said, well, he decided to opt out. I guess Tom Thibodeau will be a part-time manager, too, while he coaches the Knicks. If you want to win a new era snapback hat just like Tony, all you have to do is hit me up on my Twitter at RobParkerFS1, and you too could be a new era cap winner.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast a friend of mine, longtime friend, and co-worker. We did radio in Detroit for a long time, and of course, he is a host on Fox Sports Radio. He is the one, the only Mr. Bernie Fratto, who, of course, also, for people who don't know, had a cup of coffee and a sweet roll with the Cincinnati Reds in their minor league system. Mr. Fratto, welcome to the podcast.
Rob, good to be with you. And of course, we've come full circle. Our friendship started in 1995. I had no idea what a love you have for baseball. And I think we share the commonality in that baseball is the greatest game. It's a thinking man's game. And it's predicated on failure. Every 15 seconds in baseball, there's failure. The pitcher fails to throw a strike. The hitter fails to make contact. The fielder fails to make a play. The hitter fails to reach base, and it continues for 3 hours. It's a metaphor for life, and it shows you that failure is not final, and it's a part of the process to be successful. So there's no time clock in baseball. The beauty of baseball, they got to get you out 27 times. I think we both like it because it's such a thinking man's game.
No doubt about it. Bernie, what's hit you so far about this 2020 season. Obviously, the Yankees are red hot. They're a big story. Anything else has piqued your interest?
Nothing's piqued my interest on the field other than the sense of urgency. You know, Sparky Anderson always said that you could get a gauge on a team 25% into the season after 40 games. Well, that's not up to 15-game mark. What I find interesting about this season is I do think teams recognize the sense of urgency. And I think it's interesting in that just about everybody's able to jockey for a playoff position, given the fact that for the first time in history, more teams will make the playoffs than not make the playoffs. Be that as it may, Rob, an interesting statistic you might want to know from a Vegas perspective, and that is in the last 10 years, there have been 28 teams that have been favorites of under 10-1 to win the World Series, and none of them won it. Not a single team in the last 10 years, Rob, had favorites of less than 10-1. Case in point, last year, the Washington Nationals were 18-1. You had a situation, those three great Giants teams that won in 10, 12, and 14. They were 20-1, 25-1, and 25-1. That great Red Sox team from 2013, they were 30-1. What's the point? It wouldn't surprise me if the Yankees and Dodgers, who were both 4-1, or the Astros 8-1, didn't win the World Series. That would leave the next team in line, the Tampa Bay Rays, who were 16-1. Don't be surprised if someone comes out of left field, Rob.
All right, that's something good coming out of Vegas. Bernie, tell me why you believe that the baseball, MLB, will finish the season, including the playoffs, no matter what.
Yeah, Rob, they've got about 800 million reasons why. What do I mean by that? They've got to get to the playoffs. Rob Manfred has guaranteed the owners, we're going to get that playoff TV share no matter what. They need that revenue in the worst way. Had they not played baseball this year, it would have been Armageddon. They would have gone 18 straight months. You might have seen a bankruptcy or two. You might have seen a team or two for sale. And they would have had to completely reconstruct the CBA from the ground up. So I think they will move heaven and earth, and they'll have to navigate through this COVID thing, but they've got to get to October and get that TV playoff money. They're so desperate to do it, they even added the additional teams, which brought them an extra $50 million of player revenue to share. So it's all about the Benjamins. As you always say, Rob, it's always better with the cheddar. If they don't get to the baseball postseason this year and collect that TV money, they will feel the ramifications for years to come.
Yeah, I believe that as well. I do believe that they're going to finish this season, even with the outbreaks. If you really are honest about it, we saw the Cardinals, we saw the Marlins, you know, there was a scare in Philadelphia. But, Bernie, most of the other games and players are going on, and baseball is the least, is to me, the most social distancing kind of sport there is because the players really aren't on top of each other. I'm with you.
You're right on both counts, Rob. The vast majority of the teams are navigating through this okay. There have been a couple of outliers. And there's one other thing, Rob. As you well know, in all the clubhouses you've been in the last three decades, they've got the best medical care, the best team attendance, the trainers that money can buy. These guys are well taken care of. Tommy Lasorda jokes about it. He says, you know, today's players, they're spoiled. They got three team doctors, five team trainers, and six team attendants. He goes, when I was playing, we had one team trainer, and he had one bottle of rubbing alcohol, and usually drank it all by the seventh inning.
There you go. All right, last thing from you, Mr. Fratto. Why do you think it's a certainty that there will be a work stoppage after the 2021 season?
Two words, Rob, and they rhyme with salary cap. There is a new breed of owner now that has been treating this luxury tax the last few years as a de facto salary cap. Case in point, baseball was a $6 billion industry in 2006. It is not an $11 billion industry. In 2006, the luxury tax threshold was $155 million per team. Now it's still only $198 million per team. It's only gone up 25%, yet revenues have almost doubled in those last 14 years. I think the owners want a salary cap. They're going to offer revenue sharing. They've tried it before. They're going to try it again. They are going to hit a stalemate just like they did in 1994. This is one of those cases where I hope I'm wrong, but they're miles apart in their negotiations, and we already saw how contentious they were with this mini-negotiation just trying to get a 2020 season back on the field.
All right, his name is Bernie Fratto. You can hear him on Fox Sports Radio. And Mr. Fratto, thanks for your input.
Rob, appreciate being with you.
Now it's time for some Diamond Dust with Wish TV's Phil Sanchez.
Out of here!
He played baseball in college. Now hear his MLB knowledge.
So lots happened over the past week. We'll start with my favorite team, the New York Mets. The Metropolitans were in Atlanta for a weekend series against the Braves when, of course, Yoenis Cespedes, like a thief in the night, ended up quitting. No phone call, no goodbye, no text message, nothing, just gone. The Mets put out a statement during the game saying that they hadn't heard from him, and later on they said that he decided to opt out for the rest of the season. Now, a lot of people got on the Mets about how they handled this situation, specifically on social media. For once, though, I happen to agree with how this god-awful team and organization handled this. I mean, what were they supposed to do? Cover for a guy who didn't have the decency to at least call the team to let them know that he was opting out? Listen, Cespedes hasn't been a star in several seasons. He's always hurt. And having him in the lineup blocked opportunities for young players, specifically like Dominic Smith. So this, in my opinion, a blessing in disguise. And for once, I can honestly say the Mets get an A+. To Chicago now, where White Sox fans have something to be really, really excited about. This after calling up one of their top prospects, Nick Madrigal. He was called up over the weekend, and after going 0-for-8, the second baseman went 4-for-4 at the plate, busting out. If you haven't seen Madrigal play, he's a must-watch. He's a former first-round pick, was a star at Oregon State, and is about 5 feet 7 inches tall, 150 pounds soaking wet, proving once again that baseball is by far the best game in the world. Because in baseball, it doesn't matter how big you are, how fast you are, how strong you are, all that matters is whether or not you can play. In that sense, baseball is a lot like life.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Here's another example of why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL. Did you watch that Angels game Tuesday night? When Mike Trout, fresh off a brand new baby, gets up to the plate and his very first at bat, and NBC you later. Yep, a home run. What a way to welcome in a new baby with a home run. This is like typical baseball. You remember the old story about Babe Ruth going to visit some sick kids in the hospital, and the one kid asked Babe Ruth to hit a home run, and Babe Ruth came up to the plate and pointed to right field in Chicago and said that's where it was. It was for, you know, a sick kid in the hospital, and Babe Ruth wound up hitting a home run. I don't think you could do that in any other sport. Where you can, like, make, you know, try to hit a home run for somebody. It ain't like in the NBA making a basket. Oh, yeah, I'm going to make a basket for you. That's just too easy. Or in the NFL making some sort of play or doing something. I don't know if you could promise a kid to score a touchdown. But a guy at the plate talking about hitting a home run for somebody is a part of baseball lore. And Mike Trout, congratulations, Mazel Tov, on the new baby and the home run. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.